Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryans!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and all across the state of Wisconsin on a local Civic Media radio station near you, whether you're in Green Bay, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, Wisconsin, so many terrific places around the state of Wisconsin. Learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media. Check out the website, civicmedia.us. And I am joined on a Wednesday afternoon by one William Walter and Evan on the board. Gentlemen, how are we doing this Wednesday afternoon?
What up, party people? I'm doing great. I'm always happy to be here.
Yeah, we're always thrilled to have you. And, you know, you're doing your duty and taking care of that weather. We got some nice, it's not too hot today.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Southeastern Wisconsin.
And Evan, we appreciate you on the board. You can join Will, Evan, and I throughout this 2 o'clock hour, 844-967-2789. Share a tangent with us on this Wednesday afternoon. And Will, the question I have today is, should candidates be allowed to just recoup whatever personal loans they make to their campaigns once they are in elected office or in perpetuity if they do not end the campaign? Can they recoup those losses? Is that right? Can you just loan yourself millions of dollars and then after the fact, after the election day is done, but you still have, you know, a campaign filing and you're trying to clean up the books, you know, you keep things open, making sure that you get all the proper paperwork done, all the filings. If you extend that out a little bit, just to keep maybe raising some money beyond election day to pay back those loans to yourself. Is that something you should be able to do?
But I'd like to make some of the money back that I spent and spent a lot of it.
That was the takeaway from Republican nominee for governor here in Wisconsin last year after losing Tim Michaels, Connecticut businessman, sometimes Wisconsin resident. But it's interesting because, Will, we see a piece over at Business Insider, and we're going to dive into this piece, but we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Should politicians be able to endlessly recoup the funds that they say they're donating of their own money? They're self-made individuals. They're wealthy. They can self-fund. They're not going to be beholden to any corporation or other donors. They're going to be a candidate for you. But then they're going to keep fundraising after the fact and then pay themselves back through the tax filings and the paperwork shuffle post-election day. 844-967-2789. Yes, Will.
You used a couple interesting words there, Luke. You said donations, first of all, which, unless my understanding of American English is off, that means that you are willingly giving something and not expecting a return. Perhaps I need to bring up dictionary.com to confirm that. Otherwise, they are just loaning money to their campaign if they're expecting it to be repaid back. And second, you used the phrase, is it right? Now, we'll dive into that with this Business Insider article that you mentioned. But when you say right, are you saying like morally right? Because the answer to that is obviously no, of course not. But is it legally right? We can thank Senator Ted Cruz for why that now would be the case and why one Senator Ron Johnson might benefit, might find himself in a near double-digit million-dollar benefit because of it.
Yeah, and he doesn't really behold himself to the right either morally or, you know, just self commitments, you know, saying, oh, I'll only run for two terms. Strangely serving a third term now in the U.S. Senate, Ron Johnson is. But you're alluding to the piece, so let's read the headline. Over at Business Insider, Ron Johnson insists insists he won't pocket $8.4 million from donors, but thanks to Ted Cruz, he could legally do exactly that. This piece written up by Brian Metzger over at Business Insider, and it shows an interesting look into the behind the scenes of campaigns, Will. This is something, you know, I don't know how much we're going to talk about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson during his third term. Currently, he's a member of the minority party in the U.S. Senate. He no longer serves as the chair for a subcommittee for Homeland Security. And honestly, I don't know why he decided to seek re-election after committing to only serving two terms, other than the fact that Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin kind of insisted on him to do it because there was nobody else to run. They had a pretty weak bench, and so Ron Johnson was like, I gotta do this. I don't want to break my word, but I'm gonna run anyways. And now we're finding out from the tax filings that he's shuffled around a way to recoup $8.4 million potentially. He says he won't do it. He also, again, said he wouldn't run for a third term.
Said he wouldn't run for a third term either.
Exactly. So I think he's going to leave himself open. And he's got an interesting quote in the piece as well. So we'll dive into it. And a little background on how this is possible. So reading from the piece, last May, Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas successfully convinced the Supreme Court, not that difficult to do when several seats on the country's highest court were stolen, for lack of a better term, Will. Stolen. And so that's 6-3 majority, conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court, was agreed to strike down a federal campaign finance law that proponents argued was intended to prevent corruption. That's what individuals that supported the bipartisan campaign finance law have passed, was to prevent corruption. Specifically, the 2002 Bipartisan Campaign Finance Reform Act placed a $2,500,000 cap. Excuse me, $250,000. I can't read numbers today, Will. I apologize on this Wednesday afternoon. One of those middle of the week slumps. But $250,000 cap on the amount of money that candidates could raise after their election to repay personal loans they had made. So this used to be the rule. You used to be able to raise $250,000 to clean up the books after the election. That was acceptable. You could then, you know, pay staff that say you're running low on the books, you're slightly in the red, you could fundraise up to $250,000 to clean up those books. Any additional money was considered to be a campaign contribution, not eligible to be repaid. Supporters of that limit argued that it prevented candidates from soliciting donations to ultimately repay themselves. Without it, candidates could raise money with the full knowledge that it would end up in their own bank accounts. Essentially, just being able to run a campaign after the election saying, hey, help me, you know, clean up my books, and then recover these quote-unquote personal donations or personal loans, Will, as you pointed out. And so Cruz won this lawsuit, and he told Insider, Business Insider, at the Capitol on Tuesday, that the law discouraged self-funding candidates from running. So that's why Ted Cruz picked this fight, because in 2019, according to the piece, Cruz sued the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, after loaning his campaign $260,000, an amount just over the repayment limit, in the final days of his 2018 re-election campaign, intentionally setting up a challenge to the law. So Ted Cruz picked this fight. Ted Cruz made sure that he could go and have this legal battle. He set the table for how this would be brought through the federal courts and ultimately to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so he knew this fight was coming. Ted Cruz is not the only individual that is trying to recover these campaign funds. I can guarantee you that. Ron Johnson is now shifting around the monies on his tax forms to say that it wasn't a campaign self-loan. It wasn't a contribution. It was a loan. It wasn't a donation. It was a loan.
And I think we have to note the irony too, Luke, of the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act of 2002 that we're referring to, Remember that it's more commonly known as the McCain-Feingold Act, Wisconsin's old own Russ Feingold, who was defeated in 2010 by one Ron Johnson.
And 2016.
And in 2016 as well. But yes. I guess my point was he lost his seat to this Ron Johnson, who comes swooping in and now is trying to get rid of a lot of these successful bipartisan legislation that's been on the books for, at this point now, 21 years.
Yeah. Well, it was struck down last year. And then jumping down from the piece over at Business Insider, the header, "I don't have any expectation to get paid back. Enter Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, sometimes Florida." That's me editorializing. "The wealthy former CEO of a plastics manufacturing company who loaned millions of dollars to his campaign when he first ran for Senate in 2010, while Johnson has been able to repay some of the nearly $9.4 million he's lent to his own campaigns over the last 13 years, $8.4 million of it was converted to contributions to his campaign, never to be recouped. But on Monday, Johnson declared on his 2022 financial disclosure that his campaign committee owes him millions of dollars." Strange how that accounting error now has been changed from, "Oh, well, this was a loan to myself, just giving it to my campaign," and it's now changed to, "Well, my campaign committee now owes me that money. It is now due to me again." And so it's not a self-funding. It is, well, I'm now eligible to go seek contributions after the fact and clean up losses that I donated to myself years ago, almost more than a decade ago now. This is from the 2010 campaign, Will. And so now in retrospect, these candidates are able to go and, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to have to, during the commercial break, check, but I believe he had a payout from his former employer once he was elected to the U.S. Senate to cover the costs as well. So he's already recovered the self-donation that he made to himself, and now he can go fundraise and possibly pay himself back another $8.4 million, Will. Is this...
It just sounds like another way for even bigger fish to funnel money into the already fabulously wealthy fish that do their bidding.
We're going to get into that a little bit more on the other side of this break. We'll also take your tangents, 844-967-2789. We got William Walter joining us here on Dueling Tangents for a Wednesday afternoon, and you on the phone lines. We're going to dive into this and so many more Wisconsin headlines, so stay tuned. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And Will, we're talking about a story over at Business Insider. Should any politician, elected official, after the fact, be able to recover campaign donations that they made to themselves? They self-funded their campaign. Should they be able to fundraise then after Election Day to recoup those losses? I don't think so. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Because, Will, as you alluded to right on the other side of that break, is we've got now a huge potential for corruption in the fact that, say, someone like Harlan Crow.
Crazy hypothetical. Like, pull something out of the blue here.
Super out of left field. Not something that could feasibly happen in this modern day. Say you have a businessman from Texas or a businessman from Northern Illinois / Wisconsin border that have donated to many a super PACs that have supported Ron Johnson's reelection campaigns. Now there is a loophole in campaign finance that after the election, to the tune of $8.4 million, Ron Johnson could recoup the self-donations that he made through fundraising of his campaign. He could go and try to have any millionaire or billionaire could write him a check and say, oh, well, this is just to the campaign, knowing full well that the campaign would just be a conduit for Ron Johnson to take that campaign contribution and pocket it himself. That's what this now Supreme Court ruling in Cruz versus the FEC allows. Candidates that made past self-contributions to their campaign, those are loans to be repaid instead of contributions to self-fund their desires for elected office. 844-967-2789. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Because, Will, we absolutely have to. That is why this bipartisan, as you pointed out, McCain-Feingold, this bipartisan, a Republican senator and a Democratic senator, put forth this provision in campaign finance laws because they wanted.
Feingold.
Yeah. Me too, man. Me too. But they put forth this provision to prevent corruption. And so the fact of the matter being that anybody can now donate to Ron Johnson and have that money be funneled to the tune of $8.4 million to his own pocket is just wildly outlandish corruption. That's what it is. And I don't understand how this can be overturned, but it's the guise of, oh, well, money equates speech.
I got another crazy hypothetical for you, Luke.
Let's hear it.
I'll pull this one out of left field, you know, completely making it up. Let's say that there is a Texas billionaire. Perhaps this individual collects Nazi paraphernalia, perhaps not. And perhaps they are very good friends with and financial providers, we'll say, to justices that sit on the Supreme Court, who then make the decision ruling in favor of a Texas senator who happens to also have received significant campaign contributions from this very same Texas billionaire. It's a big club, Luke, and we ain't in it, right? All of these issues are kind of intertwined in the sense that these are all big-time players in the network. They're all friends of each other. They're all well-connected. They all know each other, and they're all pushing their same agenda. When you have the kind of money that some of these billionaires have, politics just becomes a plaything to push whatever initiative you want driven at the national level. And this is, I think, this is almost one of the best examples we've seen in recent memories, that a law that was passed quite specifically to prevent corruption has been circumvented by those who are, in my opinion, some of the most corrupt in the country. And they are using this to not only, make themselves significant amounts of money, but they're able to push the narrative of, we're trying to do this for the good of elections. You know, we want people that are self-funded to be able to do this. There was a direct quote from Ted Cruz. They wanted to disincentivize any challenger from taking the risk and loaning their own money to the campaign. Incumbents usually can raise much money much more easily than a challenger. And to me, that just screams the is it from Community? I think the meme where it's like, that's worse. You do get how that's
you
worse,
you do get
right?
how that's worse. Yes, yes, yes.
Ted Cruz is saying, oh, well, if you're a wealthy individual who wants to take the risk and loan money to your own campaign, that's getting disincentivized by having this law to prevent corruption, when in reality, it's the exact opposite. You are no longer taking that risk because you're not loaning money to your campaign. You're getting it repaid by
right.
whatever wealthy
it's just
benefactor
an advance.
Wants you in office.
It's just an advance. It allows you to have that ability to then be the elected official and then recoup those loans when you find somebody else after the fact to cover that loss that you that contribution that you made to yourself. And it's important to note, there was a little fraction, $250,000 is little in the terms of this conversation, because it is only a fraction of the $8.4 million that Johnson can now recoup. But past law already allowed for you to fundraise up to $250,000. And I would have the question for Senator Johnson. He says that young people don't understand finances when they take out student loan debt that they can't repay. And I would say, if you need this provision to be able to run a campaign, maybe you should take some finance lessons and don't go so in the red. Stay within that $250,000 that you could legally recoup under McCain-Feingold. But now to go sign, Luke, now to go retroactively back more than a decade to your loans that you made to yourself in 2010, that's ridiculous and it's corruption. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on a Wednesday afternoon. And you can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
It's a big club.
To Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter, and you are listening to us across several fine civic media radio stations. Mad Radio 92.7 here in Madison, Talk of Green Bay, WGBW up in Green Bay, our friends out in Richland Center, WRCE News from the Center. You can download the Civic Media app and take us with you on the go wherever you go, whether it's the state of Wisconsin or anywhere around the country, really. You can go worldwide with the Civic Media app. Download it wherever apps are downloaded. Apple, Google, Civic Media. Download the app. It's free, easy to download. If you want to join us on this Wednesday afternoon, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. We're discussing a piece over at Business Insider talking about how now U.S. Senator Ron Johnson has made himself eligible to recoup $8.4 million. Most of them in loans that he made to his campaign for his initial run back in 2010. And he was never going to be able to recoup more than $250,000. That was what the maximum was under the bipartisan 2002 law that eloquently referred to as the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law. And you wouldn't be able to recover any more than that. You got up to $250,000 to recover. You could fundraise after Election Day to cover costs. But now, because of a Supreme Court ruling that Ted Cruz picked the fight with the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, and had it taken all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they ruled last year, and the shuffling around of tax filings that Senator Johnson's campaign has done, he'll be eligible for this $8.4 million. We want to hear your thoughts on whether or not that's acceptable. 844-967-2789. You could be like our friend in Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, it's pretty disgusting that Ted Cruz intentionally violated the law so he could bounce that before a friendly Supreme Court to get, you know, that money to come to him. That's pretty disgusting. And as far as, you know, free speech, you talk about, well, free speech, money is speech. Then why the heck is not speech? Because there's words I cannot say on the air right now because they're verboten because of FCC violations. But why can the FCC regulate that kind of speech that we can't regulate the kind of speech that if you dump loads of scads and scads of money into campaigns, that's speech, but real speech is not speech. I mean,
You make an interesting point, Mark. It is that there are restrictions on speech when there is freedom of speech. Money, one of those unfettered aspects of speech, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. And this is just one more provision of campaign finance laws that was chipped away with a concentrated effort. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz picked this fight. You're right. He intentionally broke the law. He intentionally gave himself a self-donation more than the past legal limit, and due to the conservative takeover of our federal judiciary, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of Ted Cruz and against the Federal Elections Commission. Hollowed out a two-decade-old campaign finance law that had been stripped away many aspects of it during Citizens United. This was one more provision of federal campaign law, though, that Republican lawmakers like U.S. Senator Ted Cruz wanted to see done away with. And I think it's important to point out the specifics in this case, Will, because reading from the piece over at Business Insider, in his campaign's October 2022 quarterly disclosure to the FEC, Johnson put a precise number on the amount of money that his campaign now owed him, $8,427,316.94. The sum of the remaining balance of 11 different loans he made to his campaign, most of them in 2010. So more than 12 years prior. The committee is revoking, quote, the loan forgiveness and reinstating the loan, read a memo on each loan entry in the documents filed with the FEC, but Johnson's campaign doesn't have anywhere close to that much money. According to his latest FEC disclosures, his campaign has just under $800,000 on hand. That means in order to repay himself the $8.4 million sum, Johnson would have to raise millions of dollars from donors for that purpose. And that purpose alone, I truly believe last November's campaign was the final campaign that Senator Johnson will run. I do not see him seeking a fourth term. He may go back on that, like he went back on his promise to only run for two terms. But he would have to raise more than, what, $7.5 million just for the purpose of it to go back into his own pocket. That is just blasphemy, in my opinion. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. And, Will, you know, when you're right, I like to give you a victory lap, correct?
I am more than happy to take that victory lap, Luke.
Right? When you take your victory lap. So I'm going to take one real quick, too, because during that last commercial break, looked it up, went into the archives, and found a Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article from June 23rd, 2011. And this is the headline.
Yes. We were still in high school, Luke.
We were still in high school.
We were both still in high school.
We were both still in high school. The headline, Johnson proves to be a big spender and taker. Firm pays him $10 million. Reading from the piece, after dropping nearly $9 million from his own pocket to win a seat in the U.S. Senate, Ron Johnson didn't have to feel the pain for very long. Johnson's plastics company paid him $10 million in deferred compensation shortly before he was sworn in as Wisconsin's junior senator, according to his latest financial disclosure report. The first-term Republican declined to say how his Oshkosh firm, Pecure, came up with a figure that so closely mirrored the amount he personally put into his campaign fund. Quote, you take a look at the terms of what would be a reasonable compensation package, okay? Johnson said this week. It's a private business. I've complied with all the disclosure laws, and I don't have to explain it any further to someone like you. That was U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's sentiments around being asked questions how Pecure came up with a number so closely to what he self-funded, quote-unquote self-funded, of about $9 million to then being compensated just over that in his departure package for leaving that job to go and represent the state of Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. So
to me, that reads, Luke, as keep your mouth shut, peasant. It's none of your concern.
Well, it was just a business write-off. That just becomes an employee compensation package for Pecure, but Ron Johnson doesn't lose out on anything. He actually net gains a little bit on that, and then he now is eligible for $8.4 million that he did pay himself. He didn't have to put on the financial disclosure that, oh, my firm already covered this. My old business already covered the self-funding I did to get originally elected to that seat in 2010. Now he's eligible to go and fundraise and cover that $8.4 million for none other purpose than just putting it and lining his own pocket. Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Is this just not legalized corruption? Just out in broad daylight?
Luke, you didn't even touch on the best part of that article. So reading from the piece from 2011, unlike most deferred package deals, however, it appears that the company had not set aside a specified amount annually that would be paid out when he left the firm. Instead, Johnson said the $10 million payment was, quote, an agreed upon amount, unquote, that was determined at the end of his tenure with the company. Agreed upon by whom, the article asks? That would be me, Johnson said.
It's literally the left hand just putting money in the right pocket. Like, that's all it becomes then.
Thank you, left hand. I'm glad we could come to a consensus, said the right hand.
Yes, it is just a self-dealing scheme that is now, because a lawsuit that was picked by Texas's senator, Ted Cruz, Ron Johnson, and other, this isn't just applicable to Ron Johnson. I guarantee you that there are other politicians out there, and it's wrong for any of them to do it, of any political persuasion. I would find this to be a terrible use of the campaign finance laws if there's any Democratic lawmakers taking advantage of it. It is just blasphemy, in my opinion. 844-967-2789. I want to hear your thoughts on it. But it is, Will, it is just outstanding that this is allowed to fly as acceptable.
Well, Ted Cruz really weasels his way out of he's so good at saying the exact opposite of reality in a way that most major media outlets won't push him on. To give an example, in the Business Insider article, Cruz says, "You want to talk about where corruption lies? It doesn't lie in $3,300 increments," said Cruz, noting that Johnson would have to recoup his $8.4 million sum from, quote, "a crap ton of people." Well, Ron Johnson got a massive tax break from his largest donors in the state, the Ulines and the Hendricks, to the tune of what? I believe it was like $250
million. 225 to 250, yeah, something like that.
$8.5 million is pennies compared to saving them $250 million.
And that was annually.
That would be a single donor
annually. Yeah, any of the Ulines, or somebody like Harlan Crow could make that contribution and make that happen. Folks, I want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend and co-host here on Civic Media outside the Pizza Box. Pizza Box Mike, what are your thoughts on U.S. Senator Ron Johnson being able to just funnel his own campaign donations now to himself to the tune of $8.4 million? Pizza Box Mike, do we got you? All right. Sounds like we'll have to have Evan take a look at that one. Will, it is. There's any number of scenarios where this is just going to be legalized corruption, and the fact that it is now acceptable because of this fight that was picked by Ted Cruz, just baffling to me. And
did you see the other Cruz quote? If he wants to pay himself back, I think that's fantastic. It's his own money. There's nothing corrupt. It's perfectly reasonable that Ron Johnson, after 10 years of making an interest-free loan to the American people, can pay back his own money. But it's not his own money. Ted Cruz admitted that you are recouping this money from your donors after the fact, that you are not, in fact, giving up your own money. You're giving up your own money as a front to get more money in the future from whatever bigger fish wants to have you under their wing.
All right. Yeah. We want to hear your thoughts. You can be like our friend Joe here in Madison. Joe, what are your thoughts on this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, my thoughts are that, once again, Republican Senator Ron Johnson just exhibits the slobbering, greedy, stinky pile of garbage that he is yet again. And that this person represents us is reprehensible, because this guy, he is money for Ron and no one else. I think there are a couple of things that I'd like to add to this parade of stupidity on the part and greed on the part of Republican Senator Ron Johnson. And that is to remember that this is a guy that did not even know what the drinking age was in the state of Wisconsin. Not a stellar intellect here, but still full of opinions about how we should live our lives, including in the last election, promoting the fact that we should cut Social Security so that it is voted on every year. The amount that you would get in Social Security check would be decided on budget negotiations every year. Tell me how you get a loan, Mr. Businessman, if you don't know what kind of money is coming into your household, because the government is voting on your Social Security, an earned benefit, and maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. I think the fact that Mr. Johnson said to the reporter, "I don't have to explain it any further to a person like you," indicates what his attitude is toward our fellow citizens.
Well, that was his attitude. That was his attitude in 2011, Joe. But his attitude changed. In 2022, he would say, "Well, I say whatever I need to reporters to get them off my back." That was a direct quote when he was leaving the U.S. Capitol, when trying to be asked questions by reporters about his involvement in the delivery of fraudulent electoral votes to then Vice President Mike Pence. on January 6, 2021. So, slight variation that I don't have to answer to you. It's more of, I'll say whatever I think I need to say, and that's the evolution of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, we got a final segment coming up in the day, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. This is Dueling Tangents. I'm joined by William Walter on a Wednesday afternoon. We're going to get to some fun stories about trains and women's soccer coming to Madison. So stay tuned.
Feeling good on a Wednesday, sparkling thoughts, give me the hope to go on.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. We got one more final segment in the day. Plenty of time for you to share a tangent. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Joined on a Wednesday afternoon as Mr. Garrison likes. That's Garrison or is that Stan?
That's Randy Marsh, my guy.
It's Randy? Oh, see, I always thought that was Mr. Garrison.
No, you guys are both wrong. That's Lord.
Well, okay. Technically, Evan is right, but I was going to say it's the episode where a certain main character's father is revealed to be an international superstar. I wasn't going to use any names, Evan, because I didn't want to spoil the punchline of the episode.
No, see, the punchline comes later. It's no surprise. We all knew who Randy really was.
I had no idea because I'm not like an avid South Park watcher, but I've seen enough episodes.
It's worth it.
I haven't seen this one. So I just know it gets played on Wednesdays because we're joined by William Walter. And you can join us on the phones. Call or text 844-967-2789. Will, a couple of things to get excited for. One, just a short distance away from now, 2025. The next one, a little bit farther out, 2050. But we've got some exciting news going on in the world of women's sports here in Madison. The same ownership group for Forward Madison, the local club, it's been underway for several seasons now. They announced yesterday with Madison officials that a professional women's soccer team coming to play at Bree Stevens Field as early as 2025. And interesting note from a piece written up by Channel 3000 here in Madison with the headline, "Women's soccer could have come to Madison years earlier, but the flock said no, not until the athletes are paid." And I think that is tremendous. The fact that they could have brought a club here that did not pay the athletes sooner to have this sport and the economic benefits that a team would bring. People would still be buying tickets, going and buying merchandise and concessions. But the fact that the club owners waited until they were paid athletes that would be involved in the professional women's soccer league, I think is tremendous. Your thoughts?
Agree completely. We're there to see the incredibly talented athletes on the field, and if they're not getting paid, then it shouldn't be there. It's kind of similar to my my opinion on, you hear it all the time in regards to like burger people working at McDonald's or whatever, is, oh, you know, they're just doing X job, whatever, it's not that important, they shouldn't be making enough money to survive. Like, no, if a job is worth being done, it's worth being paid for. If you're willing to come and pay these incredibly talented athletes to watch them play, to watch them play their sport, then they need to be getting paid. Yeah. And I think it's so exciting to see that not only that women's soccer is coming to Madison, but that they will be paid.
Yeah, and Andrea Belling, the author of the piece, the subheadline, "Forward Madison FC could have brought an amateur team to Madison a few years ago to test the concept, but the Flock fan group said they'd only support a paid women's team." So a correction there from my previous remark. It wasn't just the ownership, it was the fans saying, no, do not bring a team until they are paid athletes. Speaking of other things that, you know, could have been running already for many years, but we're not going to see until 2050 now, according to a plan put together that was being released, and the piece over at JS Online, written up by Molly Beck. State projects passenger rail expansion could draw 250,000 new riders within a decade. So it's a plan, though, for under Wisconsin Department of Transportation that envisions what the railways could look like here in the state of Wisconsin by 2050. Two and a half decades, more than 2.5 decades from now. Well, we could have had high-speed rail back in the 2010s, and now we're dreaming about what we might have 27 years from now.
It reminds me of that famous quote, Luke. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time was 27 years from now. Come on, get it together.
Well, unfortunately, because of remarks made by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over the last year,
Well, who else would be the bad guy in this story, Luke? I can't think of any other example that I would have thought to come up.
Yeah, it comes back to him more often than not here in the state of Wisconsin. But he's indicated that no state funds going to be allocated to addressing a federal rail expansion that the Biden administration is eyeballing. So here in the state of Wisconsin, we can have projections for what could be with passenger rail in the state of Wisconsin. But it seems like the state lawmakers, led by Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, not going to support any state funding to expand passenger rail to Madison, which would be the part that you would need for this ridership to grow. You need to expand beyond just what Milwaukee currently offers. You have to include Madison. There would be stops in Waukesha, Watertown, lines up to Green Bay, and then connect all the way through to the Twin Cities. And we could actually utilize passenger rail. But Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, not interested in putting state funds to anything close to that, Will. So we're getting women's soccer professionally paid athletes coming here in Madison in the next 2 years. But we're going to have to wait another 25 years beyond that to be able to see the vision that Wisconsin Department of Transportation is putting together for passenger rail here in our state.
Oh, and remember, too, that this was... Even before, I believe Jim Doyle had a plan in place. You're going to have to correct me on these potential details, but obviously when Walker was elected, that kind of caused a political firestorm that completely doomed.
Well, he rejected the federal dollars that were going to come along with it. It was paid for. The Obama administration was looking to expand passenger rail and have high-speed rail from Milwaukee to Madison and then on to the Twin Cities, and Walker said no. And then those train cars sat in storage, I believe, somewhere here in the Midwest. Indiana is what comes to mind. And just last year, Lagos, Nigeria bought those passenger rail cars after a decade. And now those high-speed rail cars are servicing passenger railways in Africa. Not here in Wisconsin. We do not have the high-speed rail that we could have had, but instead... there is a lovely set of commuters in Nigeria that are utilizing those passenger rail cars. Because here in Wisconsin, former Governor Scott Walker said, no, we don't want that.
I'm glad someone's getting use out of it. But I did find the numbers, Luke. Wisconsin was in line to receive $810 million in federal funding to build the high-speed rail line from Milwaukee to Madison. Plan, of course, as I mentioned, was initiated by former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. We did purchase 2 14-car train sets. However, this purchase was later the subject of litigation when Wisconsin pulled out of the rail project and state taxpayers ended up paying the company nearly $10 million to settle the lawsuit. So not only did we lose the project, but we were forced to pay them nearly $10 million of our money because Scott Walker decided that anything beneficial is a bad thing.
Yeah. Will, really appreciate you for joining me here on a Wednesday afternoon. Folks, if you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Talk to you all then.
Take it easy, party people. 'Cause I know someone.